Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available. But if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword LoveSport.
This is the Millwall Fans Show with No One Likes Us Talking. I'm joined this evening by Ted Robinson, Dave Hart and Patricia Maslin. I'm Kieran Critchard, obviously taking you through up until 11 o'clock. I hope you're not all bored of my dulcet tones on this evening. I've already been on for 2 hours during the afternoon and on for the 4 hours of Fans Show, so hopefully you're still with us on this Friday night. The weekend is upon us, so we can only look forward to it. I should start by welcoming our guests. Obviously, we've got Ted Robinson. Ted, how are we doing?
I'm fine, thank you, Kieran. Fine.
Good, thank you. Dave, looking forward to the weekend. Look, we were talking just a moment ago about the rugby. Plenty of rugby to look forward to as well, isn't there?
Loads of rugby and Millwall. And, I'm going out to a friend's birthday party on Saturday night, so a good win tomorrow would be great.
I thought he was going to say, though, hopefully we can tell the difference between a rugby and Millwall.
Oh, you
maybe
can.
Maybe not with QPR.
Not so much.
Plenty to look forward to the weekend. And also, Patricia Maslin, how are we doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, that's what we love to hear. Obviously, we'll be talking about a huge game tomorrow, later in the hour, against QPR at the Den. Sure to be a fantastic encounter. We'll also be talking to Colin Reid, manager of the Millwall Lionesses. It'll be great to get his views on how they're doing at the moment. But first, perhaps not a nice way to start the hour on a negative note. Looking back to last weekend as we review the weekend's action from last weekend, Blackburn Rovers 2, Millwall 0. It's the second league defeat this season, not one away since Birmingham last season. I'll start with you, Ted. The first half was quite dominant. I was reading some of the comments from Neil Harris saying it was frustrating, the dominance in that first half at Ewood Park, but still went behind. What do you kind of think went wrong before half-time?
Look, the thing is, Kieran, in this division, it's very fine margins between winning and losing, you know. And certain games, there's moments that change things, that you either get a decision or you don't. And there's been one or two games this year when it's not quite gone our way. And, of course, we all get down because of the results. Blackburn's one of them places that I can't remember, Dave. I think you go back a little bit longer than me, Dave. But sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But, I can't remember us ever beating Blackburn.
Yeah, we have one there.
Have we? I mean, it must have been a long time ago.
And no, it's quite recent.
Was it? Oh, well, there you go. I forget all the good days.
I think it was a cup game. Danny Shittu.
Oh, Danny Shittu's one. Yeah, sorry, but not in the league. That's what I was thinking. It's just a place that we struggle. But when you're talking about our form at the moment, we was awful at Fulham, probably the worst game of the season. Other games, we haven't been too bad. But I think Neil's in a little bit of a quandary, if we want to get a bit deep about it, because there's a Millwall way of playing, and we've got that at home, and it suits us at home, and we take a game to a side at home. I think we're trying to be a bit more clever away from home, and I'm not quite sure it's working. We got a point at West Brom, and we've had a point at Middlesbrough. Didn't play too bad, but the other two games, it's looked poor, you know, to be quite honest. It weren't a great game on Saturday, we all know that, but I'm not sure by the fact of he changes the way that we play when we go away from home, and I know and I get the reasons why, that Our boys have really got it yet. I'm not sure that they're quite understanding what's expected of them. And rather than when we come at home, I mean, QPR know what they're going to get tomorrow. It's whether they can stop it or not. But we don't play like that away from home. And he was trying to make it a more defensive-minded attack, like counter-attacking sort of way when we're away from home. And I'm not sure that it suits us. I'm not sure that the guys have got it at the moment.
No, we seem to be going away and defending that 4-5-1 formation with Bavardson up the front on his own. I mean, I was quite happy with the team he'd picked to start with. And I think for the first half hour, maybe I'm being overgenerous here, I think we matched Blackburn. They're not a good side and they wasn't a good side that day. It's just that we were worse. I think we were matching them in two-thirds of the field, but that final, the finish just wasn't there. Bavardson wasn't getting the crosses. I think when we're at home, we play the 4-4-2, we go out attacking. We're a completely different side. I think Harris should look at that and maybe play 4-4-2 away.
Like at the end of last season, perhaps, you remember rightly, when Ben Thompson came back and he played in that sort of role just behind the... We had a reasonable amount of success. And I think Neil's seen that and thought, right, we want to go with it. But, of course, we've got different players now, you know. And he hasn't... I like to see the same team week in, week out, if possible, Kieran. That to me, shows that the side's playing well. They're on top of their game. They're doing what the manager's asking. When you keep chopping and changing it around, I don't know. I mean, I know it's in this day and age, it's more of a squad sort of game. But I really like to see a bit of consistency in the picking of the side. I think tomorrow will be a completely different side in some ways to what played last week. I think because we're going to go for a different style. So
playing at home, yeah.
Yeah.
I think when we first came up in the Championship, we were playing 4-4-2 home and away. First game, when we first came up, Notts Forest away. 28, 30 shots on target and we lost 1-0. But we were going at the teams.
Yeah.
Really going for a win. Last season, we didn't have a very good squad. I mean, we've got a much better squad this year. And also, bringing in Bodvarsson and Malumbi, straight back from international, hadn't trained all week.
I don't know if you could 4-4-1-1. Malumbi just disappeared. He wasn't on the pitch. I think perhaps we should be looking at Ferguson coming back. Bring back a few of the old players. A bit of Millwall spirit in the side. I think we've got too many new players in there. As Ted was saying, it's going to take a lot longer to...
It's patience. It's
exactly.
A bit of
but
patience.
But to put them all in at once is wrong. I think they should...
Well, Malumbi's a young lad who I think's got bags of talent, you know, on loan from Brighton. And I'm not one that says, you know, because of the age you can't play him. If he's good enough, it doesn't matter how old he is. And I think Malumbi could well be that player. But, as I was saying, I think my concern was around the midfield. Leonard and Malumbi. I don't know that there's the passing ability in him. Malumbi is a passer of the ball, but I'm not sure with them two around him, it give him the room to do that, if I can say that. And I was saying to Pat coming down here, I wouldn't be at all surprised if Sean Williams comes back into it tomorrow, because Sean Williams has a range of passing that I think since he's been out the side, it shows that we lack. We haven't got a player that can do that. The same as Sean Williams.
If things are to change away from home, obviously, as you said, that the temptation when you're not winning games is to change things up, to try and find that solution that you feel like changing it is the way of getting that solution. Do you feel then the way of changing, if I ask you, Dave, about the way of changing that away form, is it by Neil Harris picking 11, going, this is the 11 I'm going to go with, keeping that continuity and consistency of team selection and going with that for a little while to try and gain a little bit of rhythm and momentum?
I think that's the way to go. Changing it around week to week, players are not settling into a pattern. So if things are not working out, you can change it in the game. But I think from the off, you should be playing 4-4-2.
Yeah, I think the reason that Neil's done it, I think there was a concern, or let's say, if we go back to last season, we was conceding goals. So we went to this formation that we're talking about now to stop conceding goals, which is fine. If you're conceding goals, that's the way to go. You need to stop that first. He done that, and we were successful with it. It's the same plan this year, but that means you're stopping the opposition first before you're going at them. Mm-hmm. And Millwall are a better side when we take a game to a team rather than sit back. And I think the sitting back nature of the way we're playing at the moment at away from home is not us and it's not helping us. But I've always said you have a plan B. Like Dave said, if you've got a plan A, which is 4-4-2, stick with that. If that ain't working on the day, then you change it to the formation. But don't do that formation at home and that formation away. Footballers are not the brightest sparks in the world. They need it to be kept simple. Sorry, lads.
In the defeat to Blackburn, arguably one of the key men was Bartosz Białkowski. And had it not been for him, were you worried, Patricia, that it might have been a similar story to the game at Craven Cottage where Fulham comprehensively beat Millwall, and had he not played as well as he did, Neil Harris could have been staring down the barrel of another heavy defeat?
Not really. Kudos to the goalkeeper for doing that, but I mean, if you went to Fulham that night, you would know that no one turned up. We'll never ever play like that again in our lives, and I don't think we would have lost 4-0 there.
No, but Bart's a good goalkeeper. We knew he was a good goalkeeper. We was all a bit miffed when he didn't come when we were supposed to be coming, and then all of a sudden he came to us, and I for one was over the moon, because I think for the last few seasons he's been one of the top goalkeepers in the division. His form on Saturday shows and proves that he is that. But I think if we'd have lost like we did at Fulham by that sort of score, it would have been harsh on the day. I don't think there was that much between the two sides. And I'll come back to what I said at the start here. And in this division, it's very fine lines of winning and losing. That game could quite easily have gone 2-0 to Millwall. Although we was poor, like Pat said, we wasn't on our best. But it could quite easily, with one or two decisions going our way, possibly have been 2-0 to us. So it certainly wasn't like the Fulham game. The Fulham game, we just, like Pat quite rightly said, we just didn't turn up at Fulham. And I wouldn't be too despondent about it. But I just think we got to be patient. It's still early in the season. We're still not that far away from the playoffs. We're not that far away from the relegation zone. But, you know, there's a long, long way to go, and there's a lot that Mill will need to sort, and I wouldn't say sort out, settle down with, if you know what I mean, bed it in. And the youngsters that we've had come in, they're going to have their ups and downs, or, you know, I like Conor Mahoney, but at the moment he's not playing at the top of his game, and that's why I'm with Pat. I think Ferguson should start tomorrow. He come back in with that sort of experience. He's the best crosser of the ball that we've got, and if you're going to have Matt Smith in the middle, you need your best crossers out on the pitch.
So it was a 2-0 defeat away at Blackburn last weekend. We'll continue to look ahead to the big game tomorrow against QPR. Jackie Knight or Mrs. Millwall 1969 on Twitter would like to thank those of you who have donated towards sending the already donated Millwall shirts, boots and stationery to the Gambian school children whom she taught to sing Millwall songs oh so wonderfully. Jackie is still some way off her target, but you can help the cause by searching for Gambian Lions Just Giving and make a donation, no matter how large or small, openly or anonymously. The Gambian Lions story is due to feature in tomorrow's QPR programme. An update from the Premier League on the Friday night football from St Mary's. It is Southampton 1, Bournemouth 2. It was Bournemouth 2-0 up at half time, but James Ward-Prowse has scored a penalty to get a goal back for them. Up next, we'll be talking to Colin Reid, manager of the Millwall Lionesses.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
Hi, I'm Richard Carn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This is the Millwall Fan Show with No One Likes Us Talking. With me, Kieran Critchard, I'm joined by Ted Robinson, Dave Hart and Patricia Maslin as we look ahead to Millwall's big game against QPR this weekend. But first, we have an update from St Mary's Stadium where Southampton are taking on Bournemouth. Peter Hood is there for us.
Southampton 1, Bournemouth 2, away back for the home side after Che Adams was tripped in the box. The referee's decision stood by VAR, and up stepped James Ward-Prowse to bring the Saints back into the game. It's Southampton 1, Bournemouth 2.
So that is the latest from St Mary's, and we could be having a Bournemouth penalty. There's a current VAR check there on the hour mark. Southampton 1, Bournemouth 2. So we'll keep our eyes peeled on St Mary's to see what happens there on in the South Coast Derby. Obviously, we're going to continue looking ahead to Millwall's game at the Den tomorrow against QPR. So we've got plenty to talk about. We're going to get the opposition view, actually. Ex-QPR man Kevin Gallen will be joining us later in the hour to give us the opposition view for that game at the Den tomorrow. But first, we're going to be talking to a rather special guest. Following the split of the old Millwall Lionesses team, where they became the London City Lionesses, the new Millwall women's team have since taken to rebranding and are playing much lower down in the footballing pyramid under the umbrella of the Millwall Community Trust. In early August, they announced that Colin Reid had been appointed as first team manager for the upcoming campaign. With the Lionesses' status in the Eastern Region Women's Football League Division 1 for the 2019-20 season confirmed, Reid joined the club with a vast wealth of experience of both youth and reserve level football, having worked closely with the likes of John Joe Shelvey, Peter Crouch and a host of other names who have played at the most senior level of both men's and women's football. Reid is also no stranger to the club, as he spent last season as technical director of the successful Millwall Regional Talent Club scheme and will continue in this role alongside his managerial duties for the Lionesses. I'm delighted to say that Colin joins us on the line this evening. Thank you very much for your time this evening, Colin. It was a great first league result last Sunday at St Paul's Rotherhithe, 12-0 against Hoddesdon. Were you expecting that, and how many fans turn up to that match?
Well, good evening, first and foremost, Kieran. Yeah, we had a great result. We didn't know what to expect, and that's the big challenge. We don't know the quality of the opposition. However, there was a good crowd there. I think it was 360-plus, so everything's very promising. Start to our league campaign, and hopefully that will continue throughout the season.
Well, Colin, it's Ted here. Nice to see that you've done well for your opening game. 12-0 is not bad, is it? You could have lent a couple of goals to our first team, couldn't you? You know, just to make it a bit better at Blackburn. But I noticed that young lady called Ellis Rose Lund scored 5. Is she available to Millwall tomorrow? Because they're all down the Den tomorrow, aren't they?
Yeah, it would be nice. Actually, she's going to be there tomorrow watching the game. So we've all been invited down, which is really good. And, Ellis has started the season off well, as have many of the other players. So, you know, without the other players around her supplying her, then she wouldn't get them goals. But, yeah, that'd be a good idea if we could just lend her to the first team for a game or two.
But it is a matter of a bit of a learning curve, Colin. Like you said, you're not quite sure about what the opposition's going to be like. But I did see that Stevenage, was it, won 20 goals to 1 against Hoddesdon or something. So I think they might be a side you have to keep an eye on, mate.
Yes, indeed. Stevenage obviously have got a strong sort of women's set-up. And, you know, we don't know the other teams in the league yet. However, like, we will be playing them next week. So, you know, there's an opportunity for all the Millwall fans to come down and support us against, you know, a team that's got the Football League as well. So, you know, they'll have a good following. And hopefully we'll continue where we left off last week.
And obviously, Colin, this is a rebuilding situation with the girls at the moment. But nice to be connected with the community trust as well, and nice to see young girls coming through.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Bailey's done a great job at the community trust, and the club's really knitted together well. So I think it's an ideal opportunity, and we've got players that have come through a community trust scheme. We've got a young player that's in the squad who's currently out injured, and we've got a couple of girls that have come through from the RCC. So as you quite rightly said earlier on, I'm the technical director, so it bodes well and it gives an opportunity for the players within the RCC to progress and get into the first team. So to produce players and get that opportunity at an early age gives us a big advantage.
Hello, Colin, it's Pat here.
Hi, Pat.
Hi. I was actually the founder member in 1973. I just wanted to say well done for keeping them going after the problems of last year. I see you got Husky Chocolate as your sponsors. Well done for that, because I know how hard it is to get sponsors for the girls' team. How did that happen?
Well, to be fair, that's not my remit, but as you can see, Husky are our sponsors, and I think it's the first time in history that the women's team have got the same sponsor as the men's. So, obviously, the credit has got to go to, you know, Steve Kavner and those that are connected with the first team. So I think it's a great honour and a privilege to be connected with such a big brand, Husky. And, you know, I'm still waiting to see my first chocolate, so I haven't got one. So hopefully tonight I'll be coming down. Now, I do know that they have been sort of circulating around the club, but apparently it tastes really well, so everybody's been taking them. So I haven't yet had one. But, no, it's big for the club. I think the sponsorship deal is very good. And like I say, it's reflected in that they've included us in that, so that's tremendous.
Excellent.
Hi, Colin, it's Dave here.
Hi, Dave.
I was at the game on Sunday, and it was a great game. No Husky chocolate to drink as freebie, but apart from that, the football was really good. Is there anything you'd like to say to the listeners to encourage them to come along and actually watch the Lionesses? We enjoyed Sunday, and we know you're going to be at the ground for the next few weeks, aren't you?
Yeah, we've got a few home games coming up. And next week, like I said, we've got Stevenage. So it'd be great to get many of the Millwall Supporters Club and fans involved. I think the media team of Michael, Tom and Alex have done a great job in promoting us. And like I said, because it is free to come down, and I've been constantly saying in the sort of press and media outlets, that, you know, come down, give us a chance, have a look at the product, because obviously with all the success that's gone on in the summer and the World Cup and the promotion of the game, I think it's an ideal opportunity for everybody to come and actually have a look at the product. So, again, I said we won 12-0 last week, and I said I want us to improve. So the result's not, you know, the most important thing. It's how we play. So for me, we're selling a product. We want to get as many people down there. And whilst you're doing well, it's probably easier. But you know, this message goes out to everybody, and it goes out to the RTC as well. If you can get yourself down to St Paul's, then we welcome, you know, to accommodate you and see you all, and that would be great for the club. But more importantly, to have a fan base and grow that, and I've set a little challenge out. I'd like to see as many as 750 to 800 people. That's a big challenge. And I think if we continue the success that we've had, you know, in the early stages, and next week, and I can't overemphasise it, is a massive game. So, you know, it'd be nice to see, you know, Mill supporters and any fans around or the local schools in the community, come down, give us a chance, and see what we're offering, and I think you'll definitely come back again.
And so they're all there tomorrow, Colin. Whereabouts are they going to be? Are they going to? They must be coming on the pitch at some point. I'm not talking about playing, but well, I'm not talking about being at.
That remains to be seen. I know we've got a game for the RTC as well, so the girls are playing Reading tomorrow. The under-16s and 14s and the 12s have the game Sunday. So they're meeting at the club at 12:30. I'll probably be there a bit later because, obviously, you know, with regards to...
You've got to get out of the bar, haven't you? That's what it is. Sorry, I was thinking of my routine there. Sorry, Colin.
Yeah, I'd like to get there. And like I say, it's great that the club have invited the girls down. There's that sort of unity now. And I think it's great. Obviously, the first team are playing Queen's Park Rangers. That's going to be, you know, well attended. And I think having the girls there is the icing on the cake. But in terms of what we're actually doing, whether we're parading around the pitch or, you know, I think there's some form of sort of collection going on. That would be great if people could contribute. But like I said, we're going to be there with big numbers, and we look forward to seeing everybody. And hopefully they'll give, you know, the girls and the first team a great reception and a great welcome.
And Cole, you sound an ambitious guy. You sound like you're in control of what you expect, sort of thing. And what do you expect from your girls this year? Is a promotion obviously what you're after, but do you expect that with the girls that you've got?
Well, I've said it. I've gone on the record already of saying, you know, it's nice to have cup runs, but more importantly for us, you know, we are in the step six. We want to get back up to, you know, where we were originally or where we was last season. So now I'm saying is, you know, we're grateful for the opportunity. And I've said, you know, we want to win the league. We don't just want to get promoted. I do want to win the league. And that is the target I've set. So for me, nothing else but winning the league is, you know, acceptable. So yes, it's going to be a hard game next week. And I've said to the girls, the pressure's not on them. We want them to go out and play with freedom, express themselves. We play a brand of football that's recognisable with what you see on the television and what's becoming sort of the norm now. And football's evolved, particularly women's football as well. So, yeah, we want to win the league. And I've stated that for the record, that, you know, that is it for me, and go up as champions.
I like your confidence, Cole. I like to hear that.
Thank you very much for your time this evening, Colin. We much appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Kieran, for having us on. Thanks very much to Pat and Dave for your questions. And hopefully you'll get down during the season yourselves and you're welcome to come and look and, you know, maybe invite us back on radio again to see, you know, and give us your versions of what you think, you know, you've seen.
I'm sure he will. Thank you very much for your time this evening, Colin. That was Colin Reid, manager of the Millwall Lionesses. It'll be interesting to see what the legacy is of the World Cup that we had this summer. It received great popularity, lots of people getting behind it, but obviously the big question is, can it actually have that long-lasting impact that everyone hopes it does? Before we give you an update from St Mary's, just wanted to cover about Millwall legend or hero vote, actually. And we're going to talk about Barry Kitchener this week, who's been proposed by Ray Langan and Forest Hill. I know you often have this debate, legend or hero, Ted? Is he a legend or is he a hero?
This one ain't a debate, I don't think. He's a legend, without a doubt. I've had the pleasure of meeting Barry on a few occasions, but my first ever meeting of Barry Kitchener, Millwall was playing away at Charlton, and I was with my dad, and I was knee-high to my dad, if you know what I mean. And I remember being all excited, because this is Barry Kitchener, and I just remember walking up to him, and he was like a colossus. He was like the Gulliver. He just seemed to go up and up and up. And this man, who was a giant of a man, see me looking up and he patted me on the head, said, "Don't worry, son, we'll win today." And he stuck with me all my life. And the man was a legend, without a doubt. If there is one man that is a legend at Millwall, it's Barry Kitchener.
Well, they often say, Ted, don't meet your heroes, but is this a case of most certainly do?
And in later life, I was fortunate enough to speak to him and meet him and whatever. And he was a gentle giant, really, Barry. He was just a lovely, lovely man. But on the pitch, he was a lion, without any shadow of a doubt. And the only thing I felt a little bit sorry for Barry Kitchener, although I'm glad he didn't go, but he had the opportunity to go and play with one of the great Liverpool sides. Bill Shankly was after him at the time, and he never went. In them days, it was different. Players stayed where they was. But he was always grateful that he stayed at Millwall if you spoke to him. So definitely a legend in my eyes, this one.
A question that was sent last week from Teddy Edwards. Should Millwall formally acknowledge legends? And if so, how? Patricia, how do you think Millwall should approach this? And should they be appreciating former players and legends more?
Well, Millwall of late has been really good in employing ex-players, but we've got no museum. I mean, when we first moved to the new ground, it was going to be, there was be a museum with all the legends in and whatever, you know, the past history, and Millwall's not done anything like that. I mean, ideally, it'd be lovely to have a statue of Kitch at the front of the ground, but we don't seem to sort of employ that sort of thinking. I think it's quite poor, actually, the way they remember our history.
Yeah. Any other views on that, Dave? Do you think that the club could do more? And if so, how could they do more to appreciate players that not only played for a long, long time for Millwall, but were pretty good players as well for them?
Well, we have got the possibility of the ground being slightly redeveloped with this new Bermondsey plan, if that goes ahead. Hopefully, if the club have got a hand in it, which I hope they will do, the museum could be a part of that, and to acknowledge players, former players. I think maybe once they've, you know, curled up and gone away, not alive, I think that's the thing to do, to recognise people. Like people are saying about naming a stand after Neil Harris and things like that. We've got a stand named after Kitch, who in my opinion is a legend, and it's a difficult one, but do it around the ground at the moment, it's a bit uncertain.
We do get bits of the ground named after, but like Harry's Bar, Harry Cripps, yeah, you know, that's appropriate with Harry because he did like a trick. But you know, you're always going to have somewhere where you can name something. But I think the ultimate, really, is probably, like Pat said, a statue. And I think if there's any player that should have a statue after him, it's Barry Kitchener, because he was Millwall for
one club player. 18 years he was signed for us, 602 games. I mean, I don't think anyone will ever surpass that. And my memory of him was he took a shot against Preston and his boot went flying off into the back of the goal instead of the ball. Yeah. And Preston counter-attacked immediately, and instead of waiting to pick his boot up, he run the length of the pitch to defend with one boot.
Yeah.
And he played for quite a few minutes. And that was the man. That was the Millwall attitude. Yeah. And you'll never get a player like him.
I think he broke that attack down and all with his one foot. We've had a big debate about legend and hero and all this, that and the other. And I've always felt that the word legend is sometimes used a little bit too easily.
Yeah.
But if it's fitting for one guy, it's Barry Kitchener.
Absolutely. I'm surprised at Ray for putting him forward because it's not a debate.
Conclusion is Barry Kitchener, legend. It was great to hear from Millwall Lionesses manager Colin Reid in this section tonight about the exciting times ahead for the team. Don't forget, all Millwall Lionesses home games will be played at St Paul's Sports Ground in Rotherhithe. And throughout 2019-20, entry to all fixtures, as Colin mentioned, they'll be free of charge. To be in the know, you can keep up to date with Millwall Lionesses 2019-20 season on social media by following at Millwall _LFC on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. We do have a quick update from Peter Hood, who is at the Southampton-Bournemouth game.
Southampton 1, Bournemouth 2. The visitors coming under increasing pressure from the home side. Sofiane Boufal desperately close to scoring a moment or two ago when the keeper Ramsdale pushed away a sharp shot. The pressure's been towards the Bournemouth goal, but the visitors still holding on thanks to those early goals in the first half and early in the second half. It's Southampton 1, Bournemouth 2.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
This is the Millwall Fan Show with No One Likes Us Talking and me, Kieran Crichton. I'm joined tonight by Dave Hart, Ted Robinson and Patricia Maslin as we continue to build up to a big game at the Den tomorrow against QPR. And to look ahead to that game, we've got a fan in the dugout, and I'm delighted to say that Georgia Lowe joins us this evening. Good afternoon, Georgia. Thank you very much for your time on this Friday evening. I wanted to get your views firstly on the start to the season as a whole. Have you been pleased, satisfied, disappointed with Millwall's start to the season?
Hiya, it's nice to speak to you. I think there's always a bit of mixed feelings. Definitely, it is always nice to get those 3 points, but it has been a bit disappointing, especially in the last couple of games, obviously not getting the points on the board, and quite some disappointing performances, really.
Who for you is making the greatest impact in this Millwall side at the start of the season?
There are quite a few that sort of stand out. In the games that I've seen, I really am a fan of Ben Thompson. I think he's a brilliant player, especially coming sort of from the club so young. I think he's probably the one for me that's the one to watch and the one to look out for.
And what about tomorrow, Georgia? Is there any changes to the side from last Saturday that you'd like to see? I mean, obviously, I could tell you want Ben Thompson to play.
I agree with you.
But is there anyone that you would... what sort of changes would you make to the starting 11?
I'm being honest, I haven't actually seen the starting 11 that are on tomorrow. If I had to pick sort of a few favourites that I personally think have been delivering, it would be the likes of sort of Jake Cooper. I think Jed Wallace brings a lot to the team, and players like Scalak as well. I think they're all...
I think Scalak's injured at the moment. I don't think we'll see him tomorrow.
No, I think he's definitely going to be missed. It's a shame.
Yeah, because he was playing really well in the friendlies, and now he's got injured.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Yeah. It's nice to get a bit of freshness to the side. I think he sort of brought something a little bit different, which was always quite nice to watch.
What were your aims, Georgia, at the start of the season? Where did you see, when the season started, Millwall finishing up? And in these first seven games of the season, have your views changed on the kind of the objective that you see Millwall achieving this season?
Yeah, I mean, I always like to start the season positive. I think it's quite difficult because of a few comments I'd heard from the management side of things, whether they were true or not, about kind of scraping through this season. But I always like to start positive. I always think that at the start of the season, it's really anyone's game. So I think it's as it goes, isn't it, with Millwall. They I love them, but they don't always deliver when you want them to. But I do think by Christmas we can turn it around and start to work our way up the board.
Spoken like a true Millwall fan, that is, Georgia. Without a doubt.
Are these the types of games, Georgia, that you really look forward to? QPR at home at the Den. Are these when, obviously, we talk about around the globe, about when the fixtures are released, you look for certain fixtures, whether it be around Christmas time, start, end of the season. Are games against QPR always fixtures that when you first see the fixture list that you look at and think, I want to identify when those QPR games are and I look forward to them massively?
Yeah, definitely. I think there are some clubs where the games definitely stand out. I actually now live in Poole in Dorset, so to go back, I can't always go back every week for each game. So when I do, it's always the particular teams that I look out for. Obviously, there's some quite interesting ones coming up, especially with regards to like Cheltenham. They're the sort of ones where you're going to get you get a good atmosphere anyway, but including the away games, they're always the ones that I like to have a look out for and get tickets for.
It's lovely to watch us beat Cheltenham.
As we normally do. So where do you see us finishing this season, realistically?
I am a positive Millwall fan. I'm not going to be unrealistic, but I would really like to see at least the top half of the table.
And what would be your prediction, Georgia, tomorrow at the Den? QPR, you said you're a positive, optimistic Millwall fan. Would you be predicting then a comfortable Millwall win?
I'd like it to be comfortable.
A true Millwall fan, Georgia. We'd all like that, but it never happens, does it?
Right, I'm going to go 2-1 Millwall.
There you go. You heard it here first. I'm sure the guys here will be very happy to hear that. Thank you so much for your time, Georgia, on this Friday evening. That was Georgia Lowe. That was fan in the dugout looking ahead to the Millwall QPR game. And I believe, Patricia, you've got a bit of a birthday shout-out for
us. Absolutely. I've got a big shout-out to Sam Gardner, who's a regular caller to the show. It's his 28th birthday. So happy birthday, Sam, and we hope to hear from you soon.
Very much. So happy birthday, Sam.
28. All that says to me, you've got at least another 50-odd years of watching Millwall.
Just an update from St Mary's. The Friday night football is coming towards the latter stage of that game. Inside the last 10 minutes down at St Mary's, it is Southampton 1, Bournemouth 2. Bournemouth were 2 goals up thanks to goals from Nathan Ake and Harry Wilson. But a James Ward-Prowse penalty has given Southampton hope as we head into the last 6 minutes of that game. Up next, we'll be getting the opposition point of view, and we're delighted to say that we'll be talking to ex-QPR man Kevin Gallum.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
It is that time for the part of the show where we look at the game from the opposition fans' perspective. Obviously, Millwall will take on QPR at the Den tomorrow. And to look at it from a QPR perspective, I'm delighted to say that ex-QPR man Kevin Gallum joins us this evening. Thank you so much for dedicating 10 or 15 minutes of your time on this Friday night, Kevin. I'm sure you should be enjoying yourself on a Friday night. It's been a pretty good start to the season for QPR. 7th place in the table. I'm guessing you're pretty happy with the way that QPR have started their season.
Yeah, well, there was big changes in the summer. So I think they made 14, 15 new signings. So to be where they are at the moment and to be playing such good quality football, which the fans are really enjoying, is really good to see. And I was at the game on Saturday against Luton, and I have to say, for the first 20, 25, 30 minutes, that's the best I've seen QPR play for a long time.
The two men up front that have been scoring the goals, Jordan Hugo, who scored 5 goals this season, Naki Wells, 4. How important was it for QPR to get those men in, and how big a difference have they made, not just in terms of the goals they've scored, which is quite a lot already, but in terms of their overall game as well?
Well, I think when you say how they've scored 9 goals between them and we're like in the end of September, that's pretty good going. And at the end of the day, when you've got 2 players in the team and 2 strikers in the team that are scoring goals, that makes such a big difference. And the teams that usually do really well in the Championship and pretty much every league in the world, if you've got you've got 2 strikers who's going to score some goals, you've got half a chance.
Kevin, Mark Warburton's come in. I was a fan of Mark at Brentford. I like the style of play he's going. It seems like in the last few weeks it's beginning to click what he wants.
Well, it looked like that on Saturday. QPR, like, they're trying to play it out from the back, roll it out from the back with the goalkeeper and pass through midfield and go through the furs, as you say. But then that can cause your own problems. Because on Saturday, we were 3-0 up against Luton, and then the goalkeeper, Joe Lumley, who's had a great start to the season, he rolled one to the Luton centre forward who just 20 yards out just kicked it into the goal. So they're trying to play out from the back. It's going to take time. Mistakes will happen, but it's looking good. They look good doing it, but also they've got the long ball as well. They've got a long pass, and if you see the goal, the second goal Nucky Wells scored on Saturday was literally a 50-60 yard pass from the back straight over the Luton defence, and he ran on and scored. So I always think you have to do a bit of both to be successful.
Well, we hope the goalkeeper continues rolling it out to the opposition centre forward tomorrow. Just a little bit. Kev, we had Joe at Millwall. Is he a relation of yours? He is, isn't he?
Yeah, he's my brother.
I thought he was, yeah. I'm hoping, I mean, obviously he's got a QPR connection, but you think he's still got a fault for Millwall in him?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, when Joe was there, down there was Kenny for, I don't know, it must have been there 6 or 7 years. I used to go down to Millwall quite a lot to watch because my brother was there all the time. And I actually spent a little bit in their last season, the last 2 or 3 months of the season. I came down and Kenny brought me down and I was coaching with the reserves and with the first team with the strikers. So I've got a lot of time for Millwall. I've always been treated really well down there when I went down there. And even though I'm a QPR man through and through, and so is Joe, but Joe's got a lot of time for Millwall now.
Are you going tomorrow, Kev?
I'm actually in Germany as we speak. I'm in the lounge area of a Schalke. Just watched Schalke versus Mainz. I'm in Germany, but I will be keeping a real close eye on it because I'm a good friend of the vice chairman of Millwall, and we always have a bit of banter going on, and that's through my brother Joe.
Well, listen, mate, you leave now. You might just make the second half. You never know.
Well, if I could get out of the bar, I will.
Is you on a scouting mission out there, or is it just a?
Yeah, I work. I'm working on scouting, so yeah, I've just the game's finished. It was really good, and I have to say,
it's a hard
Schalke,
life. It's a hard life,
mate. It is tough times. I'm having a bratwurst and a beer as we speak.
Sounds brilliant. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Kevin, you mentioned about one of the things that Mark Warburton is trying to implement was playing out from the back. We saw it in the Arsenal game actually against Watford, where Arsenal conceded a ridiculous goal giving it away in their own penalty area. Do you think there's too much of an obsession throughout the league? So I remember Martin Allen on the Breakfast Show was talking about how even 10 years ago down in the Conference South he saw it. Do you think there's too much of an obsession nowadays with this obsession with playing out from the back, this philosophy of that's how you do it and you can't play another way, that sometimes just kicking it into Rose Ed is the good old-fashioned way and should be the way some of the time?
Well, no, I think you've got to mix it up. I mean, I see the goal that Arsenal conceded, and I just think if the opposition, so you're trying to roll it out from the back, you're the goalkeeper and the opposition is squeezing right up, I just think, why don't you just clip the ball over their heads and take 4 or 5 players out of the game and go from there? It's a difficult one. It's like the trend now, and I watched the game tonight in Germany. They do it exactly the same, and in England they're trying to do it. But I have to say, I don't think Millwall will do that. And I've got a lot of respect for Millwall in the way that they know what they're good at. They know what the fans want. They're very direct. They put balls in the box. So I've got a lot of respect for that, and that's why it's going to be quite a contrast of styles tomorrow, where I think QPR will try and play. Millwall will try and dominate physically, put balls in the box. QPR will have to stand up to it, and we'll see what happens. So only time will tell what the result will be. So,
Kev, I've got to be honest, Millwall fans' hearts cannot take us trying to play out of the back, so we would never allow our team to do that. If you've seen our defenders and how they play, we don't want them knocking the ball about to one another in the penalty area. Sorry.
No, I agree. No, and do you know what? I agree, because that's why I said I've got respect for Millwall. They know what they're good at. They know what the fans want. They know what the club's all about. High tempo, balls in the box, tackles, aggression. The fans demand it. And that's, I was talking about it the other day when Ian Holloway tried to come to Millwall and he said he's going to try and play like Barcelona. When I saw that quote, I was like,
no,
that ain't
going to
work.
I won't tell you how they played under him. But it weren't like Barcelona.
It wasn't very successful.
QPR have not won four consecutive league matches, Kevin, since January 2014. Is that the key for Mark Warburton's men, that they start to develop some consistency? Because the Championship is all about momentum. It's all about rhythm. So is that the absolute key for Mark Warburton's men now?
I think so. I think consistency always in football is massive. But I've watched quite a number of games in the Championship. Other than maybe Fulham, who've got really the most outstanding squad, and West Brom, I think the Championship this year is sort of open to a lot of teams. They get consistent and get stay injury free, but someone can really surprise a few people. And the QPR fans are dreaming about it. I'm sure the Millwall fans maybe are as well. They had a good start to the season, but the last few games hasn't gone as well.
I think you're right there. But,
Well, we got a secret. We got a secret weapon tomorrow, Kev. Matt Smith. Yeah. Never heard of him, have you?
There's one thing about Matt Smith, and I will say, when he was at QPR, he was when he was the best Plan B in the division.
Yeah.
Because if we were 1-0 down or 0-0, we needed a goal, 15, 20 minutes to go and put balls in the box, he's so dangerous from crosses. The only problem at QPR, he wasn't great as a Plan A.
Yeah.
I know he's started really well for Millwall, and I'm really happy for him. So we'll see, but if you put the right balls in the box, he's very, very difficult to contain, because he can attack the ball from across and he can score a goal and cause havoc, there's no doubt.
I hope you're still happy for him tomorrow after his hat trick he scored.
And just finally, then, a prediction, Kevin. How do you think the game will unfold at the Den tomorrow?
Don't forget, we know where you are.
It's a difficult one, because it's such a sort of a bit of a contrast of styles. If QPR can contain Millwall and stand up to the balls in the box and win the second balls and calm it down for the first 20, 30 minutes, I think QPR win. If they can't, Millwall will win. So I'm going to sit on the fence, but I'm going to go 1-1.
You've had too many.
And I think that would be a good point. Yeah.
You've had too many steins here.
Have another beer on Ted.
Have another beer on me, mate.
You're right. We're three here, so.
Thank you very much for your time this evening, Kevin.
Absolutely no problem.
Thank you very much. Kevin Gallen, ex-QPR man over in Germany. It's not a bad life, is it, going and being a scout watching in Gelsenkirchen over in Germany, watching Schalke versus Mainz there tonight. And we're coming towards the end of the Millwall Fans Show, so we can't end without a prediction. So, Patricia, I'll start with you.
I'm going to go 1-0 to us.
Who's going to get on the score sheet? Is it going to be that man that we mentioned, former...
Smith?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think Jed Wallace is going to get one. I'd like to see a few more of the older players coming in with Williams, as we were saying, and Ferguson, and I think it's going to be a 1-0 win.
Dave, what are you going to go for?
I'll go 3-1 to us.
3-1, nice and positive.
Two
from Matt Smith against his former club. And Ted?
I agree with that. Two from Matt Smith, but I'm going with Georgia and a 2-1. I think we might start a bit shaky, but I'm confident that Matt Smith's going to get a couple tomorrow.
Thank you very much for joining me this evening. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope I filled in well for either Matt Bede or Charlie.
Surprised you're still awake. Here and after 6 hours or whatever. You're doing well, mate.
I'm doing okay, but I wonder whether the listener's getting a little bit bored of the same old voice over and over again.
What,
but thank
Ted?
You.
Well, you've only got another hour to go.
Only another hour to go. Thank you very much for joining me. That was the Millwall Fan Show. Many thanks to Ted Robinson, Dave Hart, and Patricia Maslin. Just an update for you from St Mary's. It is all over there. And for Eddie Howe's men, he will be pretty delighted this evening. It's ended Southampton 1, Bournemouth 3. Callum Wilson getting on the score sheet just before the end of the game. A calamitous error at the back between Angus Gunn and Jan Bednarek, which meant Wilson had 16 yards in front of him with no one in the goal and just passing in the back of the net. And the away fans were pretty delighted as it were at that end. Obviously, goals from Nathan Ake and Harry Wilson had given Bournemouth a 2-0 lead. James Ward-Prowse scored a penalty to make it 2-1. But a goal late on from Callum Wilson did make it 3-1. So the front Friday night football is finished for the night, and Bournemouth are the men to pick up all 3 points. As I said, many thanks to Ted, to Dave and to Patricia joining for the last hour. We've got one more hour to go. We'll have the Brighton fan show between 10 and 10.30. Then the El Clasico fan show will be looking at Barcelona and Real Madrid. So make sure you don't go anywhere.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.